One moment, sir.
Thank you.
Okay, you're putting on this.
Hello?
One moment.
Thank you.
Mr. President? Mr. Morris, just a moment, sir.
Hello?
Hello?
I've got Mr. Morris on the line for the president.
All right, hold on, please.
President,
yeah.
Walter and I deliberated several minutes before about whether or not to call you with this information, but he thinks, and I think we should. Secretary Rusk called me a few minutes ago, 30 minutes ago, and said, could you come over right away? I need to talk to you. I said, I'll be right over. I got there, and he brought me into his office and closed the door and said, two stories have reached me, which I'm not sure are accurate or not, but have come to me by means which command my ear, and which, therefore, I think the President ought to know about. I don't want to be pressed, he said, please, on how they got to him, but I think that the President should know, and I thought you were the one to tell him about them. Number one, Joe Pulitzer, Pulitzer, is talking about how, after his meeting with over here, he came away shocked that he was read materials, and others there were read materials from the confidential files of a government employee. This profoundly disturbed him and shocked him. The second story is that the Hearst people are having great pangs of conscience today, because having been offered this material earlier by a White House aide, and the secretary said the name of the aide was not given to him. If it had been, he would have given it to me, but the aide was not mentioned. Having been offered this material by a White House aide, they now have Solinger's denial that the White House was involved in it, and they are discussing, the Hearst people are discussing, if they should not have a story which says that they were offered the material by the White House. They're having pangs of conscience that they know otherwise. And isn't it decent journalism and honest journalism to say so? Now, the secretary closed the conversation, which lasted about 6 minutes, by saying again, I do not know how authentic these stories are, but they have gotten to me, and I feel an obligation because of the great awesomeness I hold for that chair over there that he sits in, for him to know about them. And I said, thank you, Mr. Secretary, very much.
What do you think you ought to do about it?
Well, he didn't have any suggestions, but Walter and I talked, and we said, well, should the President know this, and then only if he can do something about them. And we decided that on number one, nothing can be done. On the Pulitzer story, nothing can be done. On number two, however, if it's not true that this material was offered by a White House aide, and Walter does not know who in the world could have done it, and I know that I don't know who could have offered it to anybody in Hearst.
I don't believe that's right. I believe that what Walter told me, that the Loach FBI told him that he might tell him that this guy was no good, and Walter told him not to.
Well, but that's right, but DeLoach is not a White House aide, so Solinger's statement stands.
And Solinger said, I'm positive it was not, so he's speaking only of his own knowledge, but as far as I know, nobody's done it.
Right, so far as Walter and I know, no one has done it. And Walter was wondering if a call to...
I've never had any file. I've had that summary that you had, which is not a part of the file, which is just pure notes that they said they didn't give the Senate committee, although there were facts about this fellow that would seriously put him under question. But I didn't know that Pulitzer had ever been shocked by getting the background of truth of folks like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Now, go ahead.
Well, do you think that the only course of action would be to have Walter explore with Dick Berlin if they really are having pangs of conscience?
I tell Dick Berlin exactly what the Secretary said this morning, and saying that's what they're saying, and as far as we know, we don't have any files, and I'd be sure we don't have.
We don't.
And all we've had is interpretation of summary that this fellow is no good, and that's the net of what I told Mr. Pulitzer.
All right, sir. I'll go back to Walter right now.
And I don't think, though, they can much. I think the more they make out of this, the more they'll put Reynolds, have the facts come out about his file.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Secretary assured me he intended to discuss this with no one else.
Does he think about Reynolds?
Secretary Russ thinks that no doubt this man is an irascible character. He does not think the White House should be giving this material out, which he's sure the White House hasn't been. And I said, well, that's exactly right. He thinks it would really put you on the spot, whether you had done it or not, if the White House had given this out. And I assured him that that was not the case. And he said, actually, people around town didn't believe we were putting it out. That Pearson has his sources elsewhere.
I think somebody ought to tell Pearson. Now, you didn't give Pearson anything, did you?
I read him the summary.
Yeah. Well, didn't he have it?
Yeah. Oh, yes, sir. He had everything, Mr. President. He had the full thing. It is an unequivocal statement to say that Pearson had everything before he even talked to us. In fact, he called on Sunday night to ask to bring them to you to show. In fact, he got furious, Mr. President, literally furious, and said, God damn it, he said, here I am trying to help the President, he won't help me. What he wanted was for us to call Zuckert and tell Zuckert to let Pearson quote verbatim from this report, and we wouldn't do it. And he just said, you know, I just can't understand it. This man Reynolds is trying to destroy the President, destroy Walter Jenkins, and the President, God damn it, won't let me help him. So, in those terms, I think we're safe. The only thing that really bothers me about this conversation is that Pulitzer would be spreading around, and apparently he must be, this story. And secondly, that Hearst might do a story which says they were offered it by a White House aide when, in fact, they were not.
Well, I'd have Walter call Dick Berlin and tell him if they were offered it. We all know who offered it, when, and how. We know nothing about it. We know that we have received information from Gut newspaper men themselves. Said this guy is totally undependable and is psychotic. And newspaper man asked us to help obtain authority to quote. We refused to do it. And have Berlin get right on top of it. Stay on.
All right, sir.
Order on with you.
No, sir. I'm in a private office. I can get him in here.
I think I'd do that.
All right, hold on just a minute, Miss Breton. He's coming, Mr. President. Otherwise, it's quiet up here. I told Pierre this morning that we had good straight coverage on the Guantanamo news, both on television last night and in the papers this morning. Just a minute, here's Walter. I'll get on the other line. Hello?
Yeah. I think unless you know somebody that did do this with Hearst, told him not to.
That's right, and he confirmed that yesterday. In fact, he was saying it in context of the fact that too bad anybody would say that we helped with this.
I
because
tell him that you understand this morning that Hearst got pangs of conscience that it was offered to him and so on and so forth. And I think he ought to tell him it's never been out of his hands and that he had thought about talking to him about it, and we told him that we couldn't talk to anybody. And that we've never had the State Department file ourselves by the Air Force's file. That all we've been told was that this guy was no good. We've had a bunch of general statements. And that is true that we've done that, but we haven't offered it to Hearst or any other newspaper man. And then I'd call Dick Berlin and tell him to get to the bottom of it, check in, see who his Washington people are that saying this without coming from you. Just tell him what the Secretary of State said this morning and see if they are figuring it. I'm sure, though, that that's just being quoted because that's about what they told you. They told you that Hearst was getting ready to write that Hearst had been offered it, and they called him and asked him, didn't they, New York Times?
No, they didn't tell him that they had been offered it. They told me that New York Times, Phillips, had called Dennison, one of their editor in New York, and then later Bill Hearst, and had understood that we had talked to them about killing a story. It had nothing to do with the leaking part of it at all, and that Dennison didn't know anything about it, and that Hearst denied it.
Well, I'd tell Dick that and tell him to find out if there's anybody that claims to have done it. We've never heard of it, and we don't have the file, but we do know it. He's a very unsavory character, and they don't object to against him. It's terrible. See if Dick can find out what about it.
All right, sir. He called me yesterday just to visit a little bit and said, now, if you all, said in light of these calls, if you all have any further, any questions about anything, said, you call me or Eddie. Don't ever call anybody else. And I said, well, we never have.
Well, I just called him right back, tell him, here's what the Secretary of State said this morning. Hearst was having pangs of conscience. We were supposed to have had Hearst in and gone over all this with him and so on and so forth.
All right, sir.
But I think that this mob probably just Phillips slap falling around what he's heard. And I would imagine some of the New York Times told Phillips this. I mean, Phillips told some of the folks that told Russ, don't you imagine?
I would think so. Now, of course, the Post's got a story on it in the New York Herald Tribune. I haven't seen it anywhere else.
Now, what, do they use the same story as Phillips?
No, not nearly as complete as Phillips. They don't go into supposed calls made by people in this office as Phillips does. Phillips talks about calls from this office. Post doesn't do that. Their headline is who did the leak. And they kind of just a general review. The Herald Tribune is a story quoting Reynolds, in which Reynolds, they quote, said Reynolds has changed from the attacked to the attacker, and is now accusing the White House of having done this job on him, and quotes Reynolds as saying he knows it was done by the White House.
The Herald Tribune story is actually the best story of all.
Oh, yes, by far.
See, the Herald Tribune was, this is an interesting fact, Mr. President, the Herald Tribune is one of the papers that asked us, they asked me for this information. I said, I don't have it. If I had it, I wouldn't give it to you.
Well, I'd remind them of that, Bill.
Yes, sir.
And also, their man, Kiker, asked Dick Nelson to get it for him. He said, I know that there's something like that exists. So Dick came over to a dinner where I was, all upset by the recall. Said, what do I do about it? I said, just call him back and tell him that he can't have it, and we don't have it, and we're not interested in it, which he did.
And Kiker subsequently told me that he thought we were making a mistake in not getting it and putting it out.
Well, I imagine I can release nearly anything in any file I want to, can I?
You can, Mr. President, but the releasing of personnel files could have a tremendous effect on the government operations and confidence of the people in there. In the government, in the confidence of the public in the government. You can release anything you want to.
Well, think we can take the position we can. We haven't, and matter of fact, we ask it not be.
Wait a minute, I'm trying to talk, James.
Now, I have not talked to Jerry, but Jerry knows better than anybody the extent that I went to try to keep it from being done. I asked Jerry to even talk to Pearson's lawyer, to talk to his own lawyer, to go over it and try to reach a conclusion that it couldn't be used legally or is libelous. And Jerry knows that very well. I don't know who he's told that to, if anybody.
Well, you ought to call him, tell him that you see where you're supposed to be leaking, and he knows better than anyone else. He didn't do it and refused to do it. Matter of fact, when we heard that Pearson got in the Air Force, we expressed the hope that the Air Force, that he wouldn't use it. Any of you have any idea where he got it? Did he get it from Zucker, do you think?
He told me, Mr. President, that he got it from a major, and he said, I'm not going to tell you who, I'm just not going to tell you, but he said, I got it from the major, but he said, I could not have gotten it if it had not been for Zuckert's help. And I don't know whether he meant the major went to Zuckert or whether the major subsequently told Zuckert and Zuckert said, okay.
I talked to Zuckert, but I didn't ask point blank because I thought maybe it was better for me not to know.
Does Zuckert know about it?
Oh, yes. He told me that the Secretary of Defense had jumped all over him about it.
What did he say? What did he say that?
He said the Secretary of Defense had come and talked to him and told him that he was under the impression that it came from there, and that said that he hoped it hadn't and had given him the devil about it.
What did he say?
I don't believe he said. He said just that he took it. That's all.
Is that where it came from?
Well, he did not say that, but I'm sure it did, because the things that he had in his column were not in any other file. Just had to.
Well, first column. Pearson showed me what he had from the Air Force, and it was a long, lengthy thermofax copy of what could only be an official file headed by United States Air Force, and then lots of this official gobbledygook. I haven't even seen that until I saw it from him.
I hate it like everything, but it's kind of hard to get mad at somebody who even mistakenly, perhaps, was trying to be helpful.
Yeah. I think the position I take is number twofold with Berlin. At first, we didn't release it. We didn't want it released. We didn't think it's in our interest to publicize the fellow, to recognize him that much. We don't think so now. We'd have given anything if Pearson hadn't run it. Pearson's liable lawyers called us, and we told him we hoped it wouldn't run. And that's the extent of our knowledge of it.
All right.
I tell Berlin that, and I tell Jerry that again, and tell him he ought to remind his friend, Mr. Friendly, that we not only didn't give it to Pearson, but we didn't want Pearson to run it. Pearson got it from the Air Force and a major in the Air Force.
Well, Pearson is quoted.
Jerry told us about it. We told him we hoped it didn't run.
All right. Pearson is quoted in all of the stories this morning with a rather good statement. He says that he absolutely did not get it from the White House, and that further than that, the White House was uncooperative. And flabbergasted. Well, that was the third statement, that they were uncooperative, and then that they were flabbergasted when they saw what he had, when he showed them what he had.
What story is that quoted in?
That's in all three, New York, the Phillips, and in the Post, and in the Herald Tribune.
Well, maybe Pearson better open up on the Times and the Trib being willing to publish what's...
He did.
Yes, Baker, but what, today?
No, he had a good statement. He said, I'm not surprised that my competitors are upset about this, which implied, that they're really acting because they didn't get it.
About half of his column's on it again this morning, though.
What did he say?
About the same thing, just kind of boiled down.
It's from the Air Force file.
He doesn't comment on the...
What I don't understand is why people like New York Times and Phillips and Washington Post would want to protect a guy like Reynolds. They've been exposing these types of people all through the government, always. Now, they must have a conspiracy to wreck us, or they wouldn't be upset about it. And this must have hurt them, and hurt them with a committee. Does Reynolds sound like he's hurt?
Well, everybody that talks to me thinks that he's hurt. I mean, then I guess I've gotten 25 letters in the last 2 days saying hurrah for Pearson. This ought to end it. This, glad to expose this guy, stuff like that.
You better have a long talk with DeLoach and see that he's following through on all these leads in the state and Air Force file. I asked you to do that yesterday, but I'm afraid you didn't get to. Did you?
No, sir, I'm not sure that.
To talk to DeLoach and just tell him to be sure that there is in the FBI file that Congress will ultimately get all the material that's in the Air Force file and all the material that's in the State Department file and any leads that they can get from it, they ought to interview him about.
All right, sir.
Don't you agree with that?
Yes, sir, I sure do.
Check him and see what he has. See that you stay close to him, Walter. Well, every day.
I do. You know, the director's coming to lunch on Tuesday.
All right, tell him what Hearst is having pangs of conscience. Say, we haven't talked to him. Remember what he said. We're not going to, but talk to Dick Berlin and Dick DeLoach both about it.
All right, Mr. President, and Walter, there may be reason not to do this, but I would hope that if at all possible we could avoid saying that this came from the Secretary of State, because he doesn't get into things like this, and he's doing this, I think, because he really wants to help
with it without saying that.
Yeah, I think so.
And just say from a reliable high official.
I think that's coming from across the street, though, and some of this stuff's being brought to him, try to destroy confidence around among the cabinet. Because otherwise he wouldn't be getting it. What purpose would anybody have in going telling him? Do you follow me?
Yes, I follow you, yes. They wouldn't have any purpose, really, because no one would suspect that he would immediately call over here to tell us. He would not be considered a source of information for the White House on matters like this. So you could make the assumption that therefore the person who told him had in mind an effort to cause him to not believe in the administration, to lose confidence in us.
That disturbed me. I'm much more worried about the reaction Mr. Castro is going to have.
Right. I've asked the CIA and USIA and Bundy to call you with anything they get on in terms of how he is reacting as soon as they get it.
All right. Yeah.
They're sending down the...
I told you, Bill, what to do about that picture, didn't I, that movie?
Yes, sir.
I told somebody.
Yes, sir. You told me.
Did you tell Rusk about it?
Yes, sir. I told the Secretary about it. And, he said that in view of the fact that they sent out this cable, which he thought was a damn good cable, asking the Post to look at it and send their reports, that we would appear to be hasty if we immediately drew it back, let them get some of these reports back, and then to say, well, we want to therefore revise the film in light of your comments in the field and draw it back.
All right. But it's not going to be shown.
No, sir. They will not. It will absolutely not be shown until they have requested permission to show it from here.
All right. Anything else?
General Clifton was in a few minutes ago. Said they were planning to send a jet star down tomorrow morning with a bunch of papers that Bundy thought ought to get to you. Reading material.
Tell him, but I'm just shocked that they'd have two jet stars down here with this big plane. We just can't be sending that much stuff.
I'll be back tomorrow night. All right.
They have them down there now? Yeah, I had two here yesterday with me.
The reason...
Only had 26 on my plane.
The reason that he told me they did that, Mr. President, is that to get you out to the ranch.
I've got a plane here that I can fly out to the ranch in and get a helicopter out of San Antonio. And I can drive out here in an hour anyway, so it's just outrageous. Just tell him that, Walter.
All right.
Tell him, and I just think it's outrageous to have two jet stars fly me down here and fly 50 miles to the range. Let's don't make an issue out of it where it gets in the paper, but let's just stop that kind of managing.
All right, sir.
Dale Meeks could have met me in my own plane, and Colonel Wright could have brought me up in the helicopter that's flying all the time. Tell him to get this helicopter checked out down here so I can use it.
All right.
Major Wright's helicopter.
All right, on the one, that is supposed to come down tomorrow, I have a reservation on American in the morning, but I thought if it was going anyway...
Yeah, that's all right. You can go in it, although I'm afraid if they do, they'll be saying we're coming to the funeral plane, but if it's got to come anyway, why,
well,
I won't do it.
All right. And,
but I think it'd be better if it came this afternoon late.
All right, I'm sure it
can. They can do that, yes. He said it could go any time.
Then it's got to get stuff that can be acted on, because I'll be back there by the time it gets here, almost tomorrow.
That's good.
All right.
Who's going to come on it, you and who else?
No one else that I know of.
And just sit down and have a good story with him about this plane shipping business. We only had 26 on our plane. Assuming they got to have a backup, that'd be one jet star.
All right.
I think the backup could be the newspaper plane.
Don't
you think that Pearson's denial in pretty well answers for us?
I do, although they don't give it much play. They give it down in the stories.
Bill?
Yes, sir, I do. Although it's Republicans and critics will say, well, of course you'd expect him to deny it. That was his source. But the average man is not going to think that, because Pearson's statement is strong. Mr. President, I would like to suggest that you really keep pressure on Bundy and Rusk and McCone and others to press forward on what we can do about Cuba, about subversion, espionage, and intelligence. Now, there are two reasons for this. One, I think we've got to do it. It's necessary. Cuba has to be dealt with. But second, the Attorney General did not miss any opportunity yesterday, either in the session he had last night in the cabinet room or in the Situation Room where we were for 2 hours before coming in there, to say, you know, we're slapping at gnats. The big problems are subversion and the training of guerrillas for Africa, and nobody's giving any thought to that. Nobody seems to be concerned about it. Nobody seems to be interested in it. Nobody seems to be able to come up with policy on and if we don't keep after them on this, sooner or later we're going to start getting some newspaper stories saying that the president's more interested in gnats than he is the big problem. And
well, tell Bundy that. Just tell him that he and Bundy and somebody in the State Department, the three of them, come up and see what we do about this subversion.
All right, sir.
Tell him I want the Attorney General and Bundy and somebody from the State Department, maybe Avril Harriman, whoever the Rusk wants to designate.
All right, sir.
Get to work on see what we do about this exportation of subversion from Cuba.
All right, sir.
And also tell Bundy that I want to really press them again along the line of that wire and see what they've got to report on our offensive out there.
All right, sir.
In Vietnam.
All right, sir. Now, if you, it's just an idea, just come to me.
Do those two things now, by